This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
Everyone all set? Cocked, locked. Here we go. Hour number two. Hour number two of USA Prepares. Frank's with us, Frank Pacheco, in Canada. Frank, I just wanted to mention, I've said it a bunch of times, but I don't think it's really understood how hard these compressors of freezers work. And I'm talking about the new style freezer, or the newer style freezer, where there are no coils on the back and no coils on the bottom to dissipate the heat. So these have mechanically attached coils on the inside of the skin. You can't see them. And you'll feel that the outside, if it's, let's say, the white skin of a vertical freezer or a chest freezer, will get warm when the compressor's running. And we literally experienced our chest freezers running 24 hours a day, trying really hard to overcome the ambient temperature. You know, it was over 100 degrees. And a lot of people have their freezers in their garages or locations that are kind of like a garage where there's no air conditioning, it gets really, really hot. So those compressors are really running extremely high temperatures, like 177 degrees. So literally, class, what I did was I put a box fan and I blew it on the skin of the chest freezer. And you can do the same thing if you have no coils on the back of your freezer and it's upright. But the point is, I got the heat to dissipate and I was able to reduce the temperature of the compressor. So I checked it with a non-contact thermometer. I got it down to about 101 degrees. And then I decided that, you know, I really need to put a permanent kind of a fan that's attached to the relay. When the compressor comes on, this fan comes on and blows air right on the compressor. Mm-hmm. So the louvers on the outside of the chest freezer.
That's right.
The door where the compressor is. I cut a 4-inch hole. And I mounted a 4.5-inch fan on the outside, attached it with some sheet metal screws, and I blow air right on the compressor. And it works great. And those compressors are running at the most half the time that they were running. And the refrigerant temperature is lower, the compressor temperature is lower, and I really believe that I've reduced the amount of electricity by at least a third that they consume, and I probably have increased the life expectancy by 2x. Now, those are my thoughts. Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, here's my first thought, is that if you know, for the class, the students, go and look at your freezer, and you can't find that grill that you're talking about, then, which is what I find a lot of stuff, you probably have a cupboard right beside it. It's such an interesting thing how so many people have this, and I'm sure yours doesn't, because obviously you can see the air coils on the side, but they'll have the freezer, and guess what they'll have beside it? Either the freezer will be by a wall, or they'll have two cabinets where they put their extra stuff. So that grill that you're talking about is hidden. In addition, that it needs to be open so that compressor can be air cooled in the way, or in natural, or in the way that you did it with your fan. See, in the beginning, I was listening to your class, and you're talking about heat. A lot of students will know this. This is basic physics, that heat always travels from hot to cold, and heat needs to do that. Huh? Do you remember that principle from?
Oh, absolutely. Practical. That's Frank. That's why radiators in older houses. I'm talking about cast iron radiators were put under a window because it would there'd be natural convection from the radiator to the window. That's why they did it.
Mm-hmm. And it's such an important principle in my field and from the students' field that whenever you're analyzing something, always keep in mind that heat travels from hot to cold. And you know what's even worse than that? That heat travels from hot to cold? It's very hard to stop heat from traveling. And like, if you don't have enough insulation in your wall, it will travel right through that insulation. So it's so important to understand that principle. When I used to teach many years ago at a college up here, one of the things I said to class, you know, you see how your windows get fogged up? Guess what's happening? Well, the humidity kind of piggybacks on top of that heat molecule. And I actually used to have balloons to explain the situation. And as that heat is traveling through the room, and especially in the wintertime, and it's cold outside, hot inside, guess what the heat is doing? It's traveling from hot to cold. It's going through your window. Now, heat can go through the window, but moisture can't, so therefore you have condensation. What a great way to see in the wintertime. If your windows are pretty, have like quite a bit of condensation, a bit is not the problem, but a lot, you can see that there's definitely a problem with your window panes, huh? So it's such an interesting. I love my field because there's so much behind the scenes that actually makes sense. You know, I mean, I know I took math in high school, Pythagoras, all this just calculus, but the basic principles of school are I use it today, and it's so nice to know them.
It absolutely is. You know, Frank, I haven't used calculus since college. I have not used it once. But, you know, we do need to be exposed to a whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
And class, when you're in elementary school, you wonder, why am I learning this? Why, you know, why are they spending time on this?
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about in the 1950s and 60s. Now there's a real good reason why you ask, why are we spending time on these strange things? But back then you'd wonder, why are we spending time on science, earth science, chemistry, biology, you know, physics principles, mathematics, history, language, arts, because you're going to use them later on.
Yeah,
and each subject, each topic that you learn tends to build. Later on, you build on that, and then you build on that, and that, and that. And pretty soon, you know more and more about a lot of things. And then later on, you use them in real life. So I think that's what Frank's talking about.
Yeah,
and
it's what I'm talking about, and it's so nice to have that bit of theory. First of all, I don't know if you know this, Vince, but our class today started in what this talk stream thing that you've sent me. We were at 121. We're not 41, which means that I'm so kind of happy that our students are kind of enjoying our conversation. I mean, I am a professional, heating appliance and air condition. Some of the material that we're talking here, obviously, can be a little bit beyond our average student. However, what I want to say is if you do get someone to come and do a maintenance on your condition, you will know what he needs to do a proper job. And inspecting that air coil in the basement, not everybody wants to go and take the trouble. So if you're going to get your air conditioning maintenance and the chap doesn't go down there and at least takes a peek at that air coil, well, what can I say? Not have him back next year. No, that's not fair. But no, I mean, can you mind checking my air coil to see how dirty it is? So I'm so happy that our students are getting something out of our classes.
Yeah, and you mentioned number 41.
Yes.
In podcasts, we're number, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, number 13.
13, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so people, right now, number 13, people are paying attention to class. And Frank, there's one thing I wanted to ask you about.
Sure.
And that is when we're talking about these heating systems. We have an adjustment on ours. You know, I have the manual. And if you don't have the manual class, you can look up the manual for your heating unit, mm-hmm. the brand and the model number, and you can find a free download probably, or at least read pages of the manual. But you can adjust the speed of the blower motor. Now, I've been in houses where people have set the blower motor on maximum, and it sounds like a wind tunnel in the house. I mean, the heating system is so loud, it's unbearable. Now, in our house, people have come in and they said, I can't hear your heating system at all.
Yeah.
At all. And that's because I have it set on either the lowest speed or the second to the lowest speed. Ours has a selection of six different speeds. Frank, would you please discuss the relationship of the blower motor speed, the electricity that it consumes, the wear and tear on the motor, and the life expectancy? All of those things relate to each other, right?
Absolutely. Well, it goes again back to that heat travels from hot to cold concept, but in a small way. Air, that blower motor, okay, is obviously blowing air through heat exchanger over the A-coil. Now, if that blower motor is going really fast and that air is going really fast, how much heat or how much cold will it absorb? So you end up having this humongous motor or going really, really fast, bypassing without having enough time to absorb that coldness that your poor little compressor outside's been doing for you. And so that's why it's important. Oh, that non-touch thermometer, everybody should get. They're not that expensive. For an air-conditioned system, you should hit the register at closest to the furnace, and you should at least get 59 degrees Fahrenheit. If you're not, there's something wrong with your unit. And one of them could be that the blower is going so fast that it's not taking enough cold from that A-coil to make it this number that I'm talking on. That's my magic number. It can go lower than that, to 47. It can't go below 32 because that's freezing. But 59 is the top part, and that's where I feel comfortable with. So how long does the motor blower last? Okay, goes back to your filter. How clean is that filter? Because around that motor, there is actually ports that keeps that motor kind of cool. Now, your filter, it haven't changed filled. Those ports can get pretty dirty. So, therefore, the motor is not able to breathe, as we call it. Then there's another thing. Now, this is not all motors right now, but some motors have oiling ports. And how many times has anybody oiled those ports? So they're very obvious, okay? The a motor with the oiling ports, they usually have kind of a little nipple red thing on top that you kind of remove, and you put one or two, not that much lubricant, and it has to be bearing oil. Now, in the olden days, it said sewing oil would have done the job, but I buy the specific oil for motors. So that's important to keep in mind. Now, unfortunately, a lot of motors are non-lubricating anymore, which is really a sad thing.
Yeah, and there used to be little oiling caps. I think they used to be called the Real McCoy. And really, and there are these little flip caps. And you put a couple drops of oil in there once a month.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. The little. They're red, usually red in color. Yeah.
Yeah, or red plastic.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart If you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey, because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless, dumping our used barbecue coals willy-nilly. Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. That's why I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous or new car scented. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAprepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAprepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Frank is with us, and Frank Pacheco. And, you know, Frank, you were talking about these red caps. So, class, what Frank's talking about, at the end of the shaft end of some electric motors. Now, they may be gray in color, the case of the motor, the shell. They may be black. And they might have a little tiny plastic plug, smaller than a number two pencil eraser, you know, attached to a number two pencil.
Yeah.
And they're red, so you can distinguish that they're different from the color of the gray shell of the motor or the black. And just kind of lift that out, and that would be the oiling point. So there's felt inside there, and it will absorb the moisture. The oil. Mm-hmm. Now, Frank, you mentioned sewing machine oil. Now, that was years and years and years ago. I'm talking about like in the 1900s. Sewing machine oil was made out of whale blubber, oil.
Is that right?
And so was the very first automatic transmission fluid. Yeah, and there really is no perfect substitute for whale oil. It is the best of the best of the best. It's so good that we ran out of whales. And sorry to say. So there is synthetic automatic transmission fluid, but that is not a substitute, in my opinion, for the sewing machine oil, because it will corrode rubber parts. It will just destroy them.
Yeah.
So, Frank, here's what I use, and I'd like your opinion. I buy, I have a case of ND, non-detergent SAE 30 engine oil. Now, this is oil that you'd be foolish to use this in a internal combustion engine because it doesn't have the additives for detergent and dispersing the deposits that get formed by burning gasoline or diesel fuel. But what this is just like pure lubricating oil. So I use this for machinery, and I use it for putting in air compressors, you know, for pressurizing air. So I use ND, non-detergent 30 oil, and I use that on motors. Do you think that that is the, and I use it for air tools as well, so impact wrenches and the like. Do you think that's the right oil, or should we be using something different,
maybe lower viscosity? Well, oil is obviously what I'm quite sure what I buy at my heating supplier is, and which is fine. However, I am saying if our students want to do this themselves, it's not more than $5 or $6 where you can actually get a little bottle that actually has a wand on it that you can pull out and direct that oil right into the motor bearings. So, I mean, that's what I do. It's so much easier for me to have that bottle. And it's small enough that I carry on my tool pouch as part of my gear when I go into a customer's house to lubricate that motor whenever I see the possibility. So, yeah, but it's a non-detergent oil is obviously the key word there. And obviously, and I would imagine that yours, what you're using is fine. But how are you? Do you have one of those old little oiling cans that go clack, 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 clack?
Well, I do. And
oh,
here,
you do?
Here's a little,
I would figure that, yeah. I don't.
Here's a lesson. Here's a lesson, class. So my oiling can is from the 1980s.
Wow.
And this is like a 3-ounce oiling can with a screw-on plastic cap that I still have. So what I figured out was I could take a screwdriver. I could put that oiling can. And this is a vertical,
yes,
rectangular can. Put it in the warm sun, and the cap gets kind of pliable. Take a screwdriver, and I work that little cap off the spout, and I refill it. And I put the cap back on. So that's why it's so old, because I keep refilling it. So
I remember my father used to have one of those that had a little thumb pusher, and the thing was flexible, and you could do all sorts of little turns with that. But if I ever see one at a yard sale, I'll definitely buy it, because it would have been the ideal ones. Huh? But anyway.
Yeah, well, you're talking about an oiling can with a flexible steel spout, and you could kind of bend it around corners. The only problem with them is the new ones are made in China, and they can't handle the oil. They work really, really well until you put oil in them.
No, I'm talking like in the 60s, father having one of those, yeah.
That's right.
My gosh.
Right. And another thing you can do is if you're going to oil and you can't really get to, you can't get a straight shot at applying the oil to the cap, you can take a piece of wire, copper wire or aluminum wire, and bend it so that it will reach that oiling cap, and then put a drop of oil on the top of this piece of wire, and it travels down, right into the spot where we want to go.
That idea.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
U.S. USA News Update. Burning Man Festival attendees were told Saturday to shelter in place and to try to conserve food, water, and fuel amid heavy flooding in the area. The airport and entrance of Black Rock City, Nevada, where that event is held, both closed and no driving allowed besides emergency vehicles. One fatality has been reported. A Wall Street Journal poll released over the weekend showing support among Trump and Biden split directly down the middle at 46% in the 2024 presidential election if it were held today. A horrified hospital employee at Kaiser Permanente leaked a sex change training video which promoted the idea that a three-year-old can be transgender. Kaiser Permanente said they did not endorse the use of medical interventions among children in that age group. Corey Myers, USA News.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Watch it. It's going to be sliding.
What are today's hot...
Watch it. Oh,
God, you're... Take my... When you go to the... For 2 seconds...
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Now, class, take a slight detour here. And there's a reason why I'm telling you this. So there have been articles across the world about McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King, for example, in puffery. Actually, it turned out to be more than puffery. It turned out to be out-and-out fraud, where they were making claims that, or showing advertisements where they're This is reported. This is not me saying this. This is reported across the internet. Claims that their items for sale are actually bigger than they are. There's a soda company that said that they used aged vanilla, and actually it was a synthetic flavoring. So what I'm saying is, in the fast food industry, and in the food industry, there are claims about the ingredients that flat out are fraudulent. So they're misrepresenting intentionally what they're selling. So they'll show a hamburger that is 35% larger looking than the actual one that you get. And people have had it and they've come unglued. And there are class action suits against Wendy's, McDonald's, and Burger King, just to name a few. So this is industry-wide that there are problems. And it's not every single company that's doing it, but there are enough of the big ones that are doing it to warrant very close examination of what you buy. Now let's translate that into appliances. Let's translate that into heating systems. Let's translate that into refrigerators, freezers, washers, dryers, dishwashers, stoves, all of that. So you need to really be careful with what you're buying. In fact, let me make a statement. I'd love to have your reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
When I buy, and I haven't bought an appliance, but when I buy these kinds of things, I will look at the net weight, not the shipping weight. I will look at the net weight of the item. Let me give you one example. So I know two guys who bought a generator manufactured by Generac, and I was talking to Bert about it over the weekend, and I said, and it's the same size as the generator that we have, 22 kilowatts. I bought ours used for $2,200.
Mm.
It has a four-cylinder engine. It's like an industrial car engine. It's made to go a couple hundred thousand miles. And that engine is hooked up to a generator and a control box and so forth. And it weighs 950 pounds. The same rating, 22 kilowatts, is available by Generac, the same company that manufactured ours. Now, ours is discontinued. They don't make it anymore. But they've got the same rating, and it weighs 450 pounds. And they don't say, new, lightweight, fun size, you know, it's a little bit smaller, and it weighs less, and therefore you don't need as many people to install it, kind of like what we're talking about with old appliances and hot water heaters. That, you know, the newer ones are much lighter. So that's an example of the same rating, but ours will run at 1,800 RPM, and theirs will run at 3,600 RPM. Ours will have probably five times the life expectancy of theirs, but they're rated the same in some respects, like features. So do you have any buyer beware things to look at in terms of weight and other measurements that you can look at when you buy appliances and heating systems and so forth, Frank?
One of those things, Vince, when you go out and buy something, there's not much you can do in terms of choice. I mean, I don't want to say it that way. As I've said many times before, the joke in our industry, it takes two men to take an old appliance out and one man to bring a new appliance in. But when you go to a showroom, which I do a number of times to, because customers like me to go and buy their appliances, I look at that door and I feel how heavy that door is in my hands. I just, with my hand in the front, just give it a little bit of a clip up to see how heavy it is, and I compare it to another one. Look inside it. Like for a dishwasher or, let's look at a dishwasher, for example. I look for good four different things. Stainless steel, I believe in them, okay? Should have three wash arms, one on the bottom, one in the center, and a smaller one on top. Now, the point that I'm trying to make, for a dishwasher to have all those components, it is going to be a little bit more heavier than the one next to it. So, yes, for sure, you should, and the weight, and which is what it's made of, has a great impact in what kind of what you're buying. And, of course, a name brand. I mean, it's a name brand in the sense that a little bit of research. And, I mean, one good thing about Google or even the best, not Best Buy, but Amazon or the one that you like. What's it called? The is to look
search
in
engine
there.
DuckDuckGo DuckGo. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. And just do a little bit of research and see. But for sure. See, going back to that generator, yours is running at 1500 RPM and that the other one is running at 3600 RPM. Well, see, I mean, the one that's running at, sure, I do a little bit of generators myself, is there's that many more coils that the generator doesn't have to run at that fast speed. Of course, coils are made out of copper wire. That's why yours is substantially more heavier than the newer ones with the same kilowatt hours, then.
Yeah. Everything's heavier on ours.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. The frame, the box. And there's a difference in the cooling system. Ours has a liquid cooling system, which means it's got a water pump, which could go bad. And it's got antifreeze or coolant, which needs to be replaced. So there's more maintenance as compared to an air-cooled engine. But the problem with air-cooled engines is they're really not designed to run 24 hours straight.
No.
They're designed to run for, you know, several hours, shut it off, let it cool, run it several hours, shut it off, and cool. So those things are really not highlighted so much in the marketing material.
And guess what happens with air-cooled units up here in Canada when the snow starts to fall and the snow gets in front of that air-cooled grill? There goes your motor. No warranty.
Got it?
So one has to be in generators. If you live in a country where you do have a generator and it does snow, and I'm also talking about green stuff, and there is an air cool grill. And see, in my mind, our class, our students who have these products should go out and look at them, analyze them, so that when there's a problem, they can figure it out. What am I saying? Your generator outside, air-cooled generator, where is the air actually coming out or being sucked in? Like, that's something that you should know before there is a problem with your generator, so that when the snow flies and it's like sometimes 2 feet of snow, you know where you need to clean so that you don't damage your motor. Now, a generator, that was a great price for 24, but $5,000 for a generator up here is what it costs now. To do a motor repair is almost two plus. So by just knowing where those registers are, where the air is moving around, if you have an air-cooled cold generator, you're just saving so much.
Yeah, have you ever seen one of these Generacs? It's this particular model. It's a four-cylinder Mitsubishi engine. This thing is really well-built. And I sent Bert an email, and I said, this is the one that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, but it's discontinued. And I said, yeah, because it was too expensive to make it.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's just, yeah. That same thing happened to Maytag. You know, Maytag appliance can go forever. And so, anyway, yeah. So, I don't do the electrical part of generators because I'm not an electrician contractor. I'm a gas contractor. But I do the propane part. And I always have a great discussion with our electrical friends up here, because in my mind, I honestly think one should buy, and we're getting into a different subject about generators, but do you want to continue or you want to keep going?
Yeah, if you want to. It's your class, whatever you'd like to do, but I think it's interesting.
Well, it's just that I do so much up here of everything, and so a lot of contractors, electrical equipment, they're selling a generator, not myself. They love to sell these big generators. No, you have a 22. That's a pretty big generator. I hope you're using it to the greatest advantage. And if I remember as a student, you're actually using that generator to charge your batteries, huh?
Well, here's what we have. We have two generators. Actually, we have many generators. But what two of them are going to be next to each other, and we're going to be installing them. One of them is 7,500 watts, and it's a 48-volt DC generator.
That's
so the plan is that that's going to burn about maybe a little bit less than 1 gallon of propane per hour. That's our first choice, you know, for the winter and most times. But if it's so hot and it's unbearable and people in the house are going to die, then we'll fire up the 22 kilowatt. We really do. It's too big for the house, except for running one of the heat pumps. So if we're going to run a heat pump, that's what it's for. And it was so inexpensive for what it is that I decided to buy it. But the plan is to run this older generator that I bought, which is 7,500 watts, 48 volts DC, so I can just charge the battery bank. That makes a lot of sense to us because it uses half the fuel.
Yes.
So I think that's where you're going.
That's where
I think
going.
What we're saying is,
you
don't want to buy a generator that's so big that you have to feed it.
Absolutely, because, you know, for class, for the students, a basic generator will use almost 200,000 BTUs. 200,000. Your basic furnace runs in the 40,000-60,000. So you can see how much propane that's burning when it's on. And it's not hard to see. All you got to do is go to your model in your generator. If you see, I'll tell you. The concept here in my case is, if you are now wanting to think of buying a generator, is buy something that will provide the electricity that you need for common things. I mean, like your heat pump is a good example, if that's what you want to run. Myself, I up here in the north, I have a well, so I have to run that. I have electric hot water tank, which is nice if the power is off for 3 or 4 days, and I have a septic system. So, you know, like in my case, a 10 kilowatt generator does well because we had a problem last year where we had a bit of a storm coming through our country up here north, and power went off for over a week. Guess what, Vince? Those that had smaller generators almost lasted through the whole process of the thing. Those with big generators, in less than 2 days, no more propane. Trucks can get into it. So what was the great thing? I mean, this great generator, which literally went through I'm talking about a 100-liter tank of propane. It's one of those things you have to, you know, use a little bit of common sense and say, why do I want a generator for, and what will it do for me?
This is really, really important, class. And let's stay with this, if you don't mind, Frank. Talk about the burn rate.
Self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Thanks for listening. We got totally side wobbled today. It's all my fault.
Oh, well.
Frank, by the way, tomorrow, Dan Pill is going to be on hour number one.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, if you'd like it, hour number two is yours, too. You know, we just didn't finish anything that we were really going to talk about today. So if you, just let me know if you'd like it. It's yours if you'd like tomorrow, hour number two. I know you've got a million things to do and you've got a schedule, so you can let me know later.
Okay, like. I will let you know.
But here's an interesting thing, class. So what Frank is talking about is with generators, if you need to size it right, you need to figure out how many watts you really need, and can you stagger the use of them to get a smaller generator to do the job. So you can certainly get a bigger generator and pay more for a bigger generator, but the problem is it uses way more fuel. So in the case of our 22-kilowatt generator, it can use about 3 gallons of propane an hour. If I use the 7,500-watt generator that I bought for $350, and it's industrial design, I mean, this thing is commercial. It's incredible. It will use about, you know, less than a gallon an hour.
Yeah.
So the point is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Frank, but here's my way of looking at it. I would want to have a generator that would do everything that I'd like it to do within reason, and not load that generator more than 80%. So I don't want to max out the capacity of the generator and have it strain all the time and sacrifice life span of it. Whereas I don't want to use too much fuel. I want everything, right? I want very efficient in terms of fuel use, and I don't want to overload the generator so it wears out quickly. So that's why we have two small generators. And I like propane because it's so clean burning as compared to diesel and gasoline.
Yeah.
Frank, your comments on that, please.
Well, I mean, what you said is absolutely right in terms of the usage, and you're doing everything properly. But obviously, I mean, $320 for that 7K generator. Keep us in touch how you're actually going to do it, because I'm very curious how you're going to use it to charge your batteries. That's a fantastic idea. Other things when it comes to generators, size for what you need. I'm going to say this from my heart. Do you really need an air conditioner to run when the power is off? Maybe not. Definitely your sump pump is important. Getting water from a well is important. The other thing that I recommend when you're ever installing a generator is making sure there's so much to say, and I don't know. A lot of electricians like to take the easy way off. They will sell you a big generator, and they say, oh, this will do your whole house. So, therefore, you could still, I guess the point I'm trying to make is you want to have some control when that generator is on. What is it that you actually want to run with it? And therefore, a sub panel can be that part of that system that can say, well, I don't really need this to happen while my power is off, and shut it off accordingly. So, and therefore, you can get away with something smaller than your basic 22. Well, the average generator for the market out there that I install a lot of is a 10K, sometimes a 12. So that, and it does, to me, a nice job for what customers need. But before we go, and I don't know if we ever come back to generators, one of the things that is so important, Vince, is check your oil. It's like a car. You know, I don't know how many times I've gone where luckily there's a safety switch on that generator. When the oil is low, it shuts everything off. But it didn't have to happen. I'm saying, do I have to check the oil? Yes, there is an oil component there that you need to check. And especially if your generator is running for a long time. And it's not hard to put in. Obviously, you have to have a non-synthetic non-detergent oil for that generator. But have it in hand, because an electrician or a service guy will probably not be able to get there just when your power goes off and just when you need to use the toilet.
So I was talking to Bert about a generator for him, and I recommended something that probably sounds kind of strange. I recommended a semi-portable, let's say 7,500 watts, and a multiple fuel generator. And I suggested he get a propane tank, or he has natural gas, so he could hook up to natural gas if he wants.
Mm-hmm.
But if a grid down situation occurs, how long will natural gas be available? Because natural gas requires the grid in order to pump the gas.
Yeah.
Maybe 30 days, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then there's no natural gas for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of speaks to having, you know, your own propane tank. But then again, I recommended a portable one, because he has to have a permit to install the darn thing. But he doesn't if you have a portable one. So I recommended a portable one with a pressurized oil lubrication system. Not the splash type air-cooled like a lawnmower might have, but a one that has an oil filter.
Mm-hmm.
And that means a pressurized lubrication system. What do you... 10 seconds thoughts on that? Do you agree with that?
That's the way to go. And I love the dual. I love the dual systems. And they're not that hard to get anymore. They used to be at one time. But the one that uses the propane and when you need it.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.